Okay. Here we go. Hi. Nope. Ever thought about recording a conversation with your best friend who has the same profession as you? Well, we're doing it.
This is a podcast where two friends get together to shoot the shit, talk about photography, but kind of not really, more talking about life, the way that photography affects our lives, the ways that we love it, definitely the ways that we hate it, the weird clients.
But mostly making photographers feel like the rock stars that they are.
This is my very best friend, Heather.
And this is my ride or die, Allie.
Yeah.
Here we go.
They would, you'd have like really thick nostril skin or something. This is really devolving quickly.
Okay, let's interview each other.
Okay.
Let's bring forth what we've prepared because I have some excellent questions for you.
Should we say first, I'm Allie.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
please introduce yourself. I am a recovering photographer. When I said that, I really wanted to say alcoholic just because that's the joke and mess it up. But I am 31. I live in Bend, Oregon. I am married to a really awesome web developer. And I actually shot something for the first time yesterday since like...
What?
I don't know. The beginning of COVID probably.
You did? Tell me about it. What was it?
Oh, I shot... So we've had those house sitters.
Right.
They're very nice. And Ani is their names rhyme. It's adorable. Ani and Pani.
Stop. And wait, did they like give themselves new names as adults?
No, those are their real names.
Okay. Some people do that. Like especially
Yeah. Yeah. That would be weird. But
P A N I and A N I. Oh my God.
It's a Greek. So her name, I don't know what the origin is. He is Greek. She's from Florida. I don't know what her background is. He is Greek he actually told me his like whole background behind his name, but his heritage is Greek, but I think he lived in New Zealand until he was like five or something, and then has been in the US since, and lived in New Jersey. Anyway, none of that is relevant at all, but his name is like somehow Greek, and then also there's some mountain range or some natural feature in New Zealand that has a similar name, and so it kind of, I don't know, it's like a mixing of cultures, and so it's just lucky that they met.
They're really so cool
with rhyming names. But Ani is they're vegetarian and mostly vegan.
Mm-hmm.
And Ani is trying to start a vegan consulting, like for restaurants. So basically a restaurant that wants to be more vegan friendly would potentially hire her, and she would come in and help them, like take them shopping,
like design a menu,
them about educate them about vegan options and vegan whatever, just and help them build a menu and stuff like that.
Wow.
So she offered to pay me, and it just felt nicer to just be like, buy me a beer.
Yeah.
Whenever.
Right. Oh my God. So you just did some, like some headshots? Stuff she can use for a
We just did some. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We just did some fun headshots.
I love her.
Well, yeah. So we did them in the old mill, and she looked very pretty. And there's two cool murals that are really bright. And she's like spunky and fun and kind of a hippie type of a, I don't know, hippie is like, not the right way to describe her, but she's got this like long flowing red hair, and she did really good.
She's basically like who I wish that I was born as, you know? Like that is.
I will show you these pictures. It's probably exactly what you're picturing.
Oh my God. I just like.
She's really pretty, the wavy.
She's amazing.
They're great. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I love that. So. Because of our long discussion about Ani and Pani, and I think it's very funny that I have this on a as a question on here, because I asked this about Ani and Pani. If you had to rename yourself as an adult, what name would you choose and why? I know you're probably gonna be like, I like my name, blah blah. And that is great, but I'm saying, like, gun to your head, someone's like, you can't be Allie anymore, and you're like, oh god, what name do you pick for yourself?
Oh, is this at first, out of curiosity, is this something that you have thought of, like, naturally in your own time?
Yeah.
Really?
Yes, I would.
Because you don't like your name?
I want to be Stella so freaking bad.
Oh my god, that's amazing. The name that's coming into my head is Nova.
Which is the name of our dog. No, honestly, Jovi would be my second choice. Makes 100% sense. You picked that name because you liked it.
Yeah, of course.
Mm-hmm. Oh my god, yes.
Yeah, I think it's cool.
Yes, and I tell Kevin name. That I think that you and Nova look like twins all the time.
You do.
And he's like, Heather, Nova's a dog. And I'm like, they've got the same cute little nose. And he's like, what are you talking That's about? Amazing. Oh my god. So, next. I feel like I've asked you this before and you told me you didn't have one, but same situation. Gun to your head, what is your guilty pleasure? You have to answer.
So the reason that I probably said I don't have one is because I don't tend to feel guilty.
Guilty, exactly. I know. And I knew you would say that. If you were like, okay, so you're like, it's a pleasure. I don't feel guilty about it. Say you're me.
But I avoid it. Yeah.
And you feel like one, actually, you're worried about other comes people. To mind. Yes.
Go. So the thing, I'm not worried about other people, but the thing that I like refuse to buy, actually, this is two things of the very same vein, is like nostalgic treat type foods.
Okay.
Where it's like not even good and it's definitely terrible for you. And I don't feel guilt, but I also am an adult and I can make choices not to have a lot of these things.
Right.
So the other day, like 2 weeks ago, I never grocery shop because I hate it. I always do Instacart. So I added to the Instacart zebra cakes.
Oh my god.
Like little Debbie's. Oh. And actually I tried to get those Swiss cake rolls.
Yes.
And again, I don't feel guilty. But I definitely not feel awesome. Like my body doesn't feel awesome when I consume them. And also when I buy them, I like have one every night or something.
Also, I feel like you probably weren't allowed to have those when you were little, right?
No. It was like a treat with my dad when I would like go to the gas station.
Yes.
And they're like 25 cents or whatever. So I was allowed to have them, but definitely not in the house.
Like, no,
you
right.
could buy one, you know, as a treat. And then the other thing in the same vein is peanut butter Captain Crunch.
Yum.
Yes. It's so good. And it like cuts your mouth up.
Yeah, it does.
But when I buy it, I like can't stop eating it until the box is gone because it's so good. And I love it with like ice cold milk. Oh, that's basically the definition of a guilty pleasure. If I avoid it because I know it's just like not a necessity in my everyday life.
Right. Yes. See?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. That was the perfect answer.
Cool. What's yours?
My guilty pleasure is ASMR, 100%.
What? See, that's weird because that does nothing. I mean, I guess I could have, if I would have thought about it, I would have probably guessed that. But you just think it's weird and you don't want other people to know.
I think
so yours is a shamey thing.
I think people are like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
But here's the thing. It's so funny because, like, I don't think that – I think some of them are, like, a little weird. I don't think the ones – it gets
kind of sexual at some level.
Well, I think that's a misconception. So there's, like, some people – there's, like, a rare percentage of them that make it that way.
There's a video of a woman that's, like, licking –
yeah.
Obviously, I've only seen the weird ones because those are the only ones that break through to the general public.
Well, so, I just think that there's like, it's like 89% of them are like, it's very pure and they're like doing it for goodwill and like because it helps people.
And they like it. Yeah. It's like a hobby or it makes some money, whatever.
Yes. Yeah. And then there's like there's another percentage that are like making it this sexual thing. But like most of them are like the opposite of like that. They're like, they'll do whatever they can to avoid being perceived as sexual. Mm-hmm. But yeah. And I, as you know, have like severe anxiety and like have trouble sleeping, and just to like fall asleep to someone like pretend brushing my hair is delightful. And yeah, I'm like,
I think it's nice.
This is so nice.
Yep. And you need to still send me like a specific one, or did you? I hope I didn't miss it, but I do want to give that one a try of like, of her like pretending to like do your hair or whatever. I think it sounds nice.
They'll be like, it sounds like your hair is being brushed. I don't know how they do it, but then they'll just be like, they'll just say nice things like, oh, your hair is so soft. And then they'll be like, oh, I know today might have been hard, but tomorrow's a new day. They're like very encouraging little pep talks. Yeah. It's just delightful. It's like such a positive corner of the internet that I feel
like.
That's
why I don't think it should be your guilty pleasure.
Well, I think that until you know it to the extent that I do, because I listen to it every single night, like when I first heard about it, I was like, the fuck? And then now I'm like, oh, that's not what it is at all. So it's more of a pleasure that requires education.
Got it. Yep. Mm-hmm. That makes sense. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get it.
Yep.
Good question.
Thank you. Okay. Next cue is, nope, I'm going to save that one next. What's something you would tell your 20-year-old self if you would like had lunch with her today?
This is actually something I kind of think about, not phrase that exact way, obviously, but something I remind myself, and I think you and I probably have talked about this before, is like how it is like the moving of the goalposts kind of thing, you know, like when you have a goal and you're working towards something and then you kind of get it, and it can often just really go unnoticed when you get this thing that you've wanted, you know, like John, my partner, recently got this great, not different job or not like a promotion, but just his job changed in a way that really, I think, is gonna improve our lives, and just basically he got a ton of flexibility. So that is something that I personally have been working for in my life, with, you know, meaning our lives being attached and like we do the same stuff together most of the time, in travel and in mostly travel. so that's something that I've been working towards and that we've been working towards together for our entire relationship, basically. Our relationship started with us doing tons of travel, and because he was job hunting and I was in the slow season with wedding photography, and we just like went ham. Like we went all over the place, and that was people would be like, oh my God, you're going somewhere else. And I kind of loved it, not, I don't think in a braggy way, but in a like, thank you for making me realize that, yes, I am actually living my own dream right now. The amount that we've been traveling and kind of like being able to be spontaneous and make these like last minute plans. And so our whole relationship, I feel like I've been like wanting to get back to that. And we just now with this change with John's job, we kind of can't, like he can just say, I'm not working, you know, at the end of the month, and he doesn't really need to give them much of an explanation. Even he could just be like, I'll do some extra hours before we leave to kind of, you know, make sure that I'm in a good spot, but I'll be gone. So anyway, all that to say, when that happened, that job change, we were excited, but like nowhere near as excited as I probably would have thought 5 years ago that I should have felt.
Right.
You know, like when you're in it, it just doesn't quite feel like, because the the goalposts are already moved. 5 years ago, we would have said, we just want to be able to travel, make enough money to be able to travel and have the flexibility to be able to kind of like be at least a little spontaneous and do, you know, maybe 6 weeks of travel out of the year. Right. Well, here we are. And the next, you know, it's like, well, but we don't make that much money as a couple, or my job's not going well, or, right. you know, my, right. you know, I'm having this like crisis with my employment, self-employment. So whatever. So getting back to your actual question, if I were able to talk to my 20-year-old self or 21, or I'm not sure what age, but young 20s, basically a baby, like I would just be like, oh God, it's so hard. But I think I would say, I know that my personality, our personality, I guess, in this conversation is to always be looking to the future and always be looking for the next best thing and always be feeling a little bit unsatisfied no matter how good things are, and remind yourself in whatever way necessary to like celebrate when you get the stuff you want, because you're gonna get a lot of the stuff you want. Like mm-hmm. in only 10 years' time, my life is incredible based on, like, I could have never imagined. And this is true of most people, I feel like, where it's like, holy shit, if I could tell myself at 15 that I would, or 18, that I would actually be a successful professional photographer and make my yeah. money from that and be to the, you know, have traveled to the countries that I've traveled to and have a beautiful home in Oregon across right. the country from where I lived then. Like my mind would be blown. I would be mm-hmm. so excited.
Right.
So trying to get back to that feeling, or like, you know, even if you have to kind of push yourself into that of being like, put yourself in the shoes of yourself as a teenager or somebody yes. in their young 20s and enjoy it, because you're going to get a lot. You're going to get everything you wanted pretty much, but yes. your brain is going to move the goalposts. So try not to.
Yeah, I love that. I love it. Be stoked about your life.
Yeah.
I love that.
Like, I mean, yeah, like YOLO.
Oh my God.
So stupid, but yes. for real, like enjoy. That's, I feel like life is just like a magical playground. And if we're not using it for that, you're doing it wrong. And it sounds so cheesy, but I like really actually think that.
Totally. Yep. Totally. I love yep. that answer.
Yeah.
What I love you? It.
Thank you.
God, I don't even know. I need to tell her so many things. Mm. I need to write her a book, a guide, yeah. Like a whole.
Was that a hard time for you?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. My 20s sucked ass.
Like, really? I mean, you did so much cool stuff, obviously, because you're 30 now. So you're saying like the whole last decade. I mean, I know you're. You know, speaking broadly, but
there were happy things, but it was just like so riddled with instability and fear.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say.
Like
yeah.
I was so unstable and so just like scared all the time. And I feel like everything I did, my motive was to just like find stability, even if it yep. wasn't stability that was right for me
or healthy at that time yeah. or whatever. Yeah.
Even instead of just like, and I was like constantly trying to find stability almost like outside of myself instead of inside mm-hmm. of myself. Mm-hmm. And so I think I would just say like you will find such solid, permanent, like stable, loving ground. Like you're gonna get yeah. there. You know what I mean? Like you don't mm-hmm. have to be scared. Like it's all
don't
gonna
have to
be
so
okay.
panicked about it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like
enjoy it a little. Like you're yeah. gonna get there. So enjoy the ride.
Yeah. And once you get there, like it's gonna just be that solid, stable ground the rest of your life. So mm-hmm. like yeah, this is like a crazy adventure some time, and when you're in that stable ground, you'll have some days where you look back at that period with some longing, like, wow, I had so much mm. freedom and I could literally just like do whatever I wanted and I didn't have to care for anybody but myself. And mm-hmm. So yeah, it's like this is a rare it seems like a long decade, but it's a rare period of time that's going to be – that's characteristics are going to be nothing like the rest of your life.
Right. Yeah, so you might as well enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
I hear that.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so my first one, and I'm not going to go really in any order, but I am interested – I think I know you well enough to kind of like predict some of what you're going to say to this, but I kind of – it is a little like more of a serious question, but I think an interesting one – and also for other photographers and for small business owners, I think this is also like a really good like thought experiment or like exercise to put yourself through, because I think we're all a little bit delusional about our own like gifts and talents and whatever. So anyway, the question is, what do you think others value most about you? For example, what do you think is your best quality, or what do you think others think is your best quality?
Oh, God. This is so hard for me to answer. And I know that it shouldn't be, so we'll work on that. But, yeah. God.
Like, for example, I guess what I'm getting at, and this is not really for you, Heather, but maybe for a listener, is that something we all do, I think, is misinterpret what others like about us. So like I would have a really hard time answering this question too, because I think we're all really wrong about the things that other people actually enjoy about us versus the thing that we think they must value.
Right.
So Dax is always like, I thought for years and still am like working on correcting that people liked that I was a tough guy, basically. He wanted to make people feel safe around him.
Right. Yeah.
And the result of that was basically
Kristen feels like unsafe when he attracts like bad situations to them.
Yeah. So he basically realized, I thought I was making people feel safe by being the guy that's like willing to jump in and like defend or like willing to like get in someone's face if they're whatever. And turns out that actually makes people feel fucking freaked out. Like, scared. Yeah. And so that was his moment when he was like, oh my God, I have really misevaluated or whatever, incorrectly evaluated my worth. So I'm curious where that might fall for you.
So something that I think that other people value, but actually they don't.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. Okay.
Or you don't have to. You don't have to know that they don't. They probably do on some level, but you know.
Well, I think.
Like, do you want to know what I think you would say?
Yeah.
If I'm wrong, don't take it anyway. But, I kind of thought you'd say you think the thing that people like most about you is that you're a nice person.
Right.
Yeah. Which you are. Obviously, you're a nice person. But I don't think that it like ranks top three that you're like nice to me in our friendship.
Right. Yes.
Like, that's so much true. Other stuff would come
that's
first.
That's true. Yeah. I think that is definitely true. I think that I like my like greatest goal in life is to be the like kind one, is to be like the nice person. Mm-hmm. And I got like a lot of praise for that growing up. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. So I learned it as a strategy to like get praise and love and attention, which is what we all are doing all the time. Like that's
weren't you like Little Miss Christian or something, some title like that? What is it?
I was Mary. I got the Mary
award. Mary. The Mary award. That's what it is.
There was a Mary award and a Joseph award, and I got the Mary award. And that to me was like winning the Olympics. Like I was like, oh my God.
Right.
Like this is depressing. I think that's still the highlight of my life. I'm not kidding.
Oh my
and that was in high, that was in high school. I was so happy because it was just like, oh, people notice that I'm trying to be this nice person. Yeah. I'm trying to include. I'm trying to like, I was so intentional all the time about it. And I did get a lot of praise, and like, and there were things that were, you know, I got a lot of opportunities out of it too, which was cool. Like I got a mm-hmm. do things I would have otherwise done. But yeah. I think that that creates a lot of like turmoil for me as an adult yeah. because, as you know, my life since then has presented a lot of adversity and a lot of challenges mm-hmm. that I would describe have like jaded me and changed my personality a lot mm-hmm. because I've just become aware of some like really shitty aspects of life and relationships and things like that. And so whereas before it was just like so easy, I was intentional, but it was also really easy for me to be that constantly happy, kind person because my life was constantly happy and good. Like I was just, yeah. it. So I wasn't like, it wasn't like, okay, I have to put all this effort into doing this because mm-hmm. that was just also how I felt.
Sure.
And whereas now I feel like I sometimes I don't feel that way or I don't like someone or I mm-hmm. and but I'm like, no, Heather, you have to be this girl, and I don't feel that way on the inside mm-hmm. and so what ends up happening though is instead of being like, good job for like being nice even though you didn't feel that way in the moment, I don't feel that way. I feel icky, like I feel fake, like I feel mm. like that doesn't feel good either to like just pretend to right. be a certain way. Mm-hmm. But I am having such a hard time with finding my worth outside of being the girl that's kind all the time that mm-hmm. I like try and force her to be the same exact way she was when she was 18 years old. And like,
and it was easy.
And it was easy. And I'm just like, and so I think for me, like this whole question actually, like, you know, with Dax, it's like, who does it most negatively affect? Well, his loved ones because they feel unsafe. This, mm-hmm. for me, most negatively affects myself because I think your value is 100% reliant on you being this kind, nice person all the time and being perceived right. that way by others.
Yep.
And then when I'm not that way, I experience self-hatred. Like, I really do. Like, I'm like, you weren't kind or you didn't have a kind thought and you're therefore bad, your identity is no longer valuable, blah 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 blah, which is just not true because mm-hmm. the changes in me, I when I'm logically thinking about them, have made me more genuinely empathetic versus like before I could be sympathetic, but now mm-hmm. like if someone is going through something, I can show up for them in a much more powerful way because I can usually really understand how they're feeling because of things I've been through, and it's much more genuine. And yeah. I think that I am a lot wiser and not just blissfully positive.
Blindly. Yeah.
Blindly positive. Yeah. Like, I think when I choose to be positive, there's something to be said about it because I'm like choosing to be that way, even though I know things aren't amazing all mm-hmm. the time. And yep. it's interesting because I think I used to repel some people because they probably found it obnoxious that I was just like happy, positive, saw the best in everything all the time.
When we met, you and I've said this before, but like I didn't dislike you, but I did not need to like spend more time with you yeah. in the beginning before we got to know each other.
Yes, right. And I did not. Like when people didn't like me, like when I got that vibe from them, I was like, why don't they like me? I feel like I'm nice. Like how couldn't they like me? And I like couldn't understand it and it would like kill me. Like I'd be like, why?
Yeah.
And now I have met someone recently who is like that, Al, and find this person extremely annoying. Like, I am like, oh my God. Like,
you're like, oh no.
And then I'm like, oh my God. And now I really do like and enjoy and value this person. And I'm like, this was you. I'm sure that this person's experience has been this blissful, great thing. And it's not calculated. This is just how this person is, and just enjoy yep. them and the joy yep. that they are. But I'm like, I'm glad for this this introduction to this person, because I'm like, this is exactly what was going on when you were this way. And there were certain people that you just couldn't quite like click with, no matter how hard you tried. But that's kind of been my journey with myself.
Yeah. I love that. I thought that was a great evolution. Like your response. Yeah, that was perfect.
Thank you.
Love it. You're welcome. When what you said about meeting whoever this person is, I can relate kind of to when you and I met, because in the beginning I was kind of like overwhelmed, because I'm a lot more of a, I don't know how to describe my personality, but especially at this time, it was like, you know, my mid-20s, and I was like not super happy in my relationship, but like didn't know that. And was kind of probably projecting that all around myself, and had it was like kind of a common thing for me to hear that people were kind of like intimidated by me. And I didn't really know why. I like kind of liked hearing that, because I was like, oh, I guess I have like a
strong presence. Commanding
presence. And I kind of didn't like it. I was kind of confused. It was like both. I didn't really get it, because I certainly was not trying to put that out, but I was becoming aware that I was putting that out into the world. So when we met, I was definitely overwhelmed by your like positive, like bubbly kind of personality. And then once I started to get to know you better, because we were kind of connecting over photography, right? Is that, I don't even really remember how our friendship like evolved. So once that started, I remember thinking and telling and like saying the exact same thing about you, which is that like once I got to know you, I realized it was so genuine that you can't not kind of be drawn to it, because in the beginning you don't know people. You sort of think like, oh God, like you're coming on a little strong with the cheerful attitude or whatever. And then when you realize that you're just, that makes you happy to be happy and to present yourself that way, and it's genuine, it's like, it becomes really joyful and fun. And obviously now I know you even better, and I appreciate so much more about you and your humor and your, I like mostly enjoy the not kind, not, you're never unkind, but you know, like you're a real person that like people can annoy you in the grocery store, and like, you're not, you know, whatever. So it is, I kind of came to realize like, oh, you're a whole person, of course, and not just like this bubbly facade kind of a thing.
Right. And I think then too, I was still fighting it so hard that whereas now, whatever I'm thinking, I'm telling you, right? Whereas then I was probably still doing the like, I was still like restricting myself. Like
a
like,
self-hatred cycle of like nope. Oh, mean thought.
Whereas like I could have said something and we could have like, we would have bonded over it, right? But I was holding myself back from letting us bond, because I was like, no, you have to be this way. I love that question.
Beauty of growing up, really.
Yes, it is.
Oh, being 30 is so much better than being 20.
I hated my 20s. Oh my God.
I did not hate my, I loved my 20s, but I, looking back, I'm like, oh my God, you could not pay me.
I had to be so 25. Much fun in my 20s. Same.
Yeah.
But like when I was not having fun, it was just like, oh miserable. My God, what the fuck is going on?
You're so lost all the time.
Yes. Yes.
To anyone in their 20s, there's hope.
There's hope.
It'll happen. Friends. Enjoy
Things
it.
Get better.
Yeah. Okay. Another question. What is your favorite hobby that you actually do?
God, I knew you were going to ask me this. I don't have hobbies. I don't know.
I didn't. It was, now that you say that, we've totally talked about that. And I did not intend this as like a gotcha moment.
Oh, God. I once. Okay. So, all right. The first time Allie and I talked about this topic, I was sharing that my sister-in-law knows, like, she's so into history and she knows so much it's crazy. Like, she is like an encyclopedia about, especially about like British history, and loves to learn, like wants to travel and like do tours just so she can like soak up all of the history. I find
just the opposite of me.
I hate doing that.
Yeah.
And like, I love when she has fun facts. I'm like, that's really cool. But I don't like seek information like that generally.
Right.
And then I was like, God, I don't feel like I have anything like that where I just like am super into it and know a ton about it. And then last night this came up at dinner because Kevin was going off about something about Marvel. Because the last episode of this show on Disney Plus, that's a Marvel show, was on tonight. We're both very excited. He has gotten me into it too. But he like is obsessed. Like, he knows details about Marvel and like the Marvel universe that I think some people within like Marvel don't know. You know, like, he's he's so into it.
He's in deep.
And it came in again. It came up again. And I was like, Marvel is like your thing, like Kenzie has. And I was like, what is my thing? Like, why don't I have a thing? And you know what he said to me? And I was like, what? Okay. He goes, TikTok? And I was like, Kevin.
Oh my God.
I was like, I was like, I'm not talking to you for the rest of the night. And he was like, I'm just kidding. And I was like, that makes me seem like the most shallow piece of garbage human. I was like, Kevin, do I like to browse a TikTok or two? I do. I think it's fun. I like to watch little videos about babies and puppies. It makes my happy and it helps my anxiety. But I am not. That is not my thing. And he was like, I'm just kidding.
Social media is not a hobby.
Oh my God. And
maybe if you like run an account for your dog, that's a hobby, maybe.
Which I do.
Producing content.
I do. And I like it. But okay. But you know what? I want to be able to answer this question. And this is what I think. I think that my like natural personality type. Isn't, I think just in general, even though I would like to be more of this type of personality type, I just like am not someone that gets super obsessed with anything really. Like I just think I like a lot of different things. And I think I'm easily, I'm kind of like a hummingbird, like going from one flower to the other, where I'm like, okay, got what I wanted out of that thing, moving on to the next. Like, I like to accumulate a lot of different experiences and a lot of different things, but my personality type isn't to get super attached to anything, which at first I thought was like, something's wrong with you. And then I'm like, no, that's literally just how I am as a person, and that's okay. And I know like a little bit about a lot of things.
I like this realization. Like, you don't need one thing. That's not your thing, is not having one thing.
It's not. And maybe this is good, maybe this is bad, but like, once I get what I want out of an experience, I generally don't feel the need to keep like going with it. Like, and the
I don't
one
think that's a bad thing. I think that's a cool realization. It makes me think more about like other people I know. I'm thinking of Kelly, for example, of somebody who I feel like does flit around kind of like that.
Right.
And then also about myself. Like, yeah, it's cool to allow yourself to just get what you need out of something and then move on.
Right. And I mean, I would love to have this thing that I was like really into. You know, I do want that. I think that I'm the type of person though that has to like, I have to experience something to know if I want to get into it that much though. Because I will experience something and be like, I fucking liked that. And then I like want to put a bunch into it. But I kind of, I have to do trial and error with things to like decide if I like really liked it or not. Because sometimes I think I'm going to think something's awesome and I do it and I'm like, I didn't love that. But I do think, I mean, obviously I was obsessed with skating for 20 years. And I reaped the fruits of being super into something. And because I was into it, I was really successful at it. because the only reason I wanted to work so hard was because I was in love with skating. Yeah. And so, of course, I want something like that again. But I think I want something like that again in, like, a career more than in a hobby.
Right.
Because I know the outcome. But I think as far as, like, interests, the one thing that I'm, like, constantly seeking knowledge on – and I think how you know you're really into something is if, like, you would just, like, sit there for hours and go down a rabbit hole of, like, reading and researching about it. I am always and always have been interested in like, health and wellness because I want – I just think life for me is so much happier and more enjoyable if I feel good in my body because I know what it feels like to feel – horrible in my body. And so I'm like super into that and enjoy, you know, like doing the things that make me feel good. So maybe
I'm sure it also helps you feel so much more in control of something that's out of control.
Totally.
At times.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. 100%.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. I see that. Cool. You know what I realized we skipped? I love it. You know what I realized that we skipped is you didn't introduce yourself.
Oh, shoots. Okay.
Yeah, do it now.
All right. My name is Heather. I am 30. And I am a – whereas Allie is a recovering photographer, I would say I am a – God, what would be the word? I am a,
I know you're about to undersell yourself.
No. I was going to say,
okay,
I am like 100% a, like an imposter syndrome photographer.
Mm.
So I have no, I knew when I was 18 that that's what I wanted to do. I had my senior pictures and I was like, I saw the Sarah's her name who took mine, and it was the first time I've ever seen somebody like doing their job, and I could see myself doing it, and I knew that's what I wanted to do, but it wasn't supported as something for me to pursue by the adults in my life, and I am a huge, maybe not so much anymore. Maybe I am.
Like approval.
I need approval. Like I need it so bad. And so instead of just like trusting that longing, I tried to make other things work. And of course, none of those things worked because they weren't what I really wanted to do. And I am the type of person that like some people can just like push through and like just do things to be responsible. And I unfortunately don't have that quality. And if I don't like what I'm doing, I'm just like not going to do it. That's just how I am. Right. And I don't like to waste time. Like I just want to be doing what I want to be doing. So I eventually came back to it. But because I started later than a lot of other photographers and because I didn't finish, you know, school and all other kinds of things that were making me feel like my value wasn't stable, I've never been able to be like, yeah, I'm an awesome photographer. So I'm kind of a photographer who is constantly, yes, underselling themselves, but trying to get to a place where I don't do that and manage my business better, but who also has other like passions that they want to explore.
Yeah. Yeah. I would agree. I think, you know, obviously that's something we've talked about so much is our different personalities in business and in photography. Obviously we have essentially the same profession, but we're at two really different points in the road or whatever, and have had really different experiences with it. But I think I hope that other photographers and other entrepreneurs and small business owners can kind of relate to each of us. And I really think, obviously, I think that is the case. Like, there's so many people that have started out like you with kind of fits and starts and didn't feel confident and weren't supported and have imposter syndrome. That's so common. That undervalue themselves, again, so common in photography. I'm sure other types of businesses as well, but I see so many photographers that are just selling themselves so short. And I think that, and hope that people will relate to me as well, opposite path. Basically, knew I wanted to do photography and be a photographer that, like, made money since college. You know, a lot of my peers were doing these art classes, and so was I, because that was what was available. So I'm in these fine art photography classes, and being like, do you guys ever have a, like, I need to, like, shoot, like, family portraits. Like, I want to, like, pay my bills and stuff, you guys. Like, and that was, I was just kind of a fish out of water a little bit in college, but I went to college for photography, and I kind of, like, fought to have a degree that made sense for me. And I, you know, I just basically have as polar opposite of a start in the industry that you could have from your journey. But I think your journey is a lot more common, but I hope it will be interesting, because for me, I right out of college basically started managing a photography studio as, like, an assistant manager, and kind of moved up from there. And I started shooting weddings like crazy, of course, first as an assistant. And I just, like, hit the ground running really fast with photography. And that's also why we're in two such different places, I'm sure. Like, I hit it so hard those first, you know, 5 years, and then broke away and started my own business, and which was successful, honestly, like, it did quite well. And now here I am at 31, feeling burnt the fuck out and kind of grappling with that. And here you are still kind of, like, trying to convince yourself of the reality, which is that you're really good at what you do. But you're kind of having to fight with yourself about that. Kind of.
Yes, exactly. So. And I think that somehow combined, because we're multifaceted, both of us, but I think combined, that anybody who is a photographer, a creator, like, owns a business, is gonna be able to relate with one of us, which is
both of us in different ways.
Yes, and we have our commonalities too. So that's, like,
of course, yeah.
That's why we're here in many ways. Yes,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah, we've been having conversations, like, long phone calls for, like, a year or something, where we're like, man, should have recorded that. I feel like there were some nuggets
that could have helped people.
Yeah. Well, it helped us. Like, we're helping ourselves and each other in real time.
Yes. Right.
So yeah, that's what this is coming from, is being like, and also I guess we should talk about, because my last question is kind of like dreams for this podcast.
That's mine too. And,
good. See? We're always on the same page. Oh, yeah. But so another thing about why we're doing this is that I know you and I have this. I'm sure tons of photographers can relate. We're so isolated as self-employed people. Mm-hmm. Like, we don't have coworkers, really. When I worked for the photography studio, there were a lot of negatives. I was working really hard and not making a ton of money. And I can see now kind of being taken advantage of. And because I was young and I was learning and I was excited to be there. And but I will never not miss the camaraderie of having a group of photographers and being able to get together and do little test shoots and shoot the shit and just kind of, like, talk about our woes and all the things that suck about shooting weddings and the awesome things and the funny things. And now that it is so common for photographers to be just, like, solopreneurs,
Right.
That's something that I really miss. So that was kind of another inspiration for this podcast, is, like, you know, I always said, or the way that I kind of describe it is, like, well, if we all worked in an office together, all of us solopreneurs and photographers and small business owners and creatives, if we were all kind of, like, in an office, and when you, like, have lunch in the lunchroom or meet around the water cooler, what would we be talking about? You know, what stories would we share? What, like, yeah, what would we be discussing
venting if we had about
real coworkers? Yeah, venting. Yeah.
Right, exactly. Because we really don't have that. And we have that in each other. And right. And we always are thinking, man, how – if my life and career is better because we have each other. Because I can talk to you not only as my best friend, but I can also talk to you about someone else who understands the work I'm doing.
Right.
And what if every photographer had that? Because I don't know how – I don't think that – my trajectory with photography would be the same if I hadn't had you. You know what I mean? Because not only to be like, oh my God, like, look at this weird ass request from this client, but like also
this unreasonable.
Yes. Or when I'm like, Al, I'm really struggling with like, I don't think I'm good at this, or I don't think I deserve to charge this. And you're like, yes, you do. Or with things like, hey, I don't know how Dropbox works. And you're like, all right, here are some tips. Like, but I think typically historically, first of all, in anything when you're competing, like a gas station that's across the street from another gas station or a photographer with other photographers in the same area, like, for whatever reason, not for whatever reason, because that's how business is, but there's like this weird competitiveness that just kind of like is there. Even if you're not a competitive person, it just like is there. And so what happens is like we're already in isolated roles because we don't have coworkers, but then we somehow like become even more isolated because instead of talking to each other and helping each other and almost like round tabling about this is what works for me, what works for you, and like helping each other out, I think sometimes we keep even more to ourselves. And if we can inspire some sort of shift in that way mentality, that things happen, I just think we could all be more successful and happy.
Yeah. Yep. And actually, so I agree. I love that. I think we're not the first people, of course, to like try to have this shift in a mindset from being competitors to being kind of, hey, we're in the same boat. Like, let's help each other rather than be an island and probably all be struggling with something that you wouldn't need to be struggling with if you had somebody else to run that idea past or like ask that question. But also the other thing that is a goal for us that we've talked about a lot is just we like each other. We're best friends. We love talking to each other and it's fun for us. And we also love photographers. So obviously we're all kind of in this job for a reason. And that brings us all together and gives us so much in common. And so with this podcast, something that you and I have said is basically, it's not a podcast about photography. It's a podcast about photographers.
Yes.
And we like photographers so much more than we like photography, 100%. Although we like photography too. Yeah. So the other thing is just, you know, I think we'll consider this a success if we have fun together and if we like bring a little happiness and a little like laughter and just like a little feeling of camaraderie to even a few other people and we have fun doing it, that is the goal for me.
100%. 100%. Yeah. I'm so excited to be interviewing other photographers, like just making them feel like celebrities. I so badly want to make photographers feel like they're celebrities because the thing is, all that we're doing is making our client feel like they're a model. Like, that's what I'm doing. I'm like, girl, you look good.
Me like, too. I'm such a cheerleader. Time,
like, I'm just like, damn. And I am putting all my energy into making this person feel like they are the shit because I want that to come out in the photos that I take, and I want them to love them and all of that. And like, how often is the lens turned on us where we can be like, tell me about you. Tell me about like, you know what? I just like am excited to like give them the spotlight.
Yeah, and like make friends.
And make friends. Allie, we're both, Al and I are not far from each other. We're both in the Pacific Northwest, thank God. But we are in different states and we don't have friends. Yep. So we want to make you our friends. That is another, let's be real. That is the goal, is it's our desperate attempt to make friends, really.
Is it pathetic? Don't care. Nope. Yeah, I just want to like raise people up and have fun and like, yeah. I think going back to your question of my 20-year-old self, I think my 20-year-old self would puke if I heard how like, Heather, you have affected me very positively, you know, and of course I'm growing up and I'm not such a mean jerk anymore. I wasn't really mean, but I was definitely, I was closed off and not really able to embrace that, like, you know what, being nice is really fun. Like, it's fun to connect with people. And yeah, that's something that recently I have been able to like take so much more joy in. And yeah, I'm really excited to just meet people and exactly like you said, make photographers like highlight what we do, because it's hard as fuck and it's thankless a lot of times and we don't make enough money and we work too much. And photographers are awesome. So we're gonna hopefully make some photographers' days by doing some interviews. So I guess that's what our goal is, or that's what the future episodes will look like. We hope to interview photographers that we like, and just kind of get to know people and just chit chat, not always about photography too.
Yes, exactly. And maybe even eventually other creative business owners or people that can share wisdom that could help. Also, there'll be a lot of venting, you know, there'll be a lot of water cooler venting going on, and we all need that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, so The podcast is community captured.
Yes.
So we wanna embody that and share in our community with you, our listeners, which I'm excited.
I'm excited and I love you a lot.
I love you a lot. All right. Should we stop recording?
Yeah, we should.
All right.
Goodbye.
Okay.
Bye-bye.